Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, everybody. It's Kristen and Jen, and this is the hashtag #IMomSoHard podcast. It's a podcast that you can find anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And yes, normally there are two of us. And right now, there's just me, Kristen, coming at you live. Not live, podcast. And Jen is taking a much needed little family vacay. And we love working together because there's two of us. So one of us can take a vacation and the other one can man the fort. So I'm manning Fort Hood right now. Not Fort Hood, but that is an actual place. Look at me. I can have a conversation with myself. Oh my God. First and foremost, I've been reminded by our lovely Casey, who is the brains behind our operation, that I need to make an apology. An addendum, an asterisk, if you will. First of all, Jen and I often act like we're professionals talking about things that we know nothing about. So at no point have we ever said, listen to us like we know. We don't give advice. We oftentimes have had cocktails, not today, but just know we're not people that you need to take seriously. We're supposed to make you laugh. Last week, which was episode 59, and it was I Western Wear So Hard. So we talked about the rodeo. Yes, I'm still super into it. I'm wearing denim on denim right now. But we got confused about the strap to which bulls are put in so that they buck. Look at us. We don't even know how to talk about it. Turns out it's not on their wiener. It's on their flank or their stomach or something. It pisses them off. We've all worn a belt that doesn't feel good. That's what's happening. And they're also born to buck, and they're also treated very well. I just wanted to put that out there so the rodeo community does not ostracize me, because I would like to be invited to some of the parties. Jody told me the flank strap on a bull or horse to buck does not go around their balls or wiener. It goes around their flank for something to kick at. It doesn't hurt them in any way. Most of those animals are treated like royalty and are worth up to $25,000 and more. They are not going to hurt them in any way. Thank you, Jody. I just wanted to say I'm sorry. And I love you, Jody. You sound awesome. So this is going to be a fun episode because this is like a get to know us on our podcast episode. And we've put some clips together from other podcasts that we've done. And we would love to introduce you to our podcast by you listening to little tidbits. Again, subscribe, listen, buy this stuff we advertise so that people like us and our kids can go to college. You're the best. Okay, moving ahead in my parliamentary procedure all by myself. So Jen and I, for a long time, have always been into true crime. In fact, people ask us, what do you do when you get on a plane? And there's two things we talk about. It's either a home design magazine or true crime. And sometimes people have found that it's hard to get us back on track to anything else. Like, we've been asked to leave a plane one time because we were very into a couple episodes. So yeah, we love true crime. And I wanted to solve a mystery so bad that I did this. This is a terrible story. I was convinced that someone that worked at the Central City Mall was a woman who had amnesia and did not know where she was. And I thought this woman was her. So I called the Unsolved Mysteries hotline and I reported her as the missing woman from the episode who had amnesia. And they said, how old are you? And I said, I'm nine. And they said, well, do your parents know that you're calling? And I was like, I didn't say this, but I was like, hell no, Terry'd freak. And so they said, go get your parent, call your local police. Like, they were very nice to me, but they were like, basically, we know you're a kid. They must get a lot of kid callers, because I was like, I'm about to crack this shit open. Welcome to my first solved mystery.
That could happen. That could literally happen.
That didn't happen.
It didn't happen. But no. Kristen, I don't want you to be embarrassed, because my mom one time thought my friend Laura's husband had been married to my stepsister. And I was like, that is the worst. Like, you spent how many Thanksgivings with the guy? Like,
that's so
weird. It happens.
Well, to end the story in not a glorious way, the woman did not have amnesia. And my mom was so mad, because I had been following her in the grocery store for many days when we went, just to do some recon and take some notes and figure out, like, if maybe she was, this is before cell phones, by the way, because I would have just snapped a picture, but I was doing like drawings of her. And she was a longtime resident of the town, and
knew who
had,
she was.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm such a bad. Anyway,
she had a hard life, and you were bringing up
had
some
a hard
memories.
Okay. No, she was a very sweet person who I totally misidentified, and I learned a strong lesson at that point. And then my mom was like, you can't. Well, you know, Terry, that I cut to 30 minutes later of her tearing me a new one. Like, she's like, you can't just call the police. But I wanted to be a part of one of those updates more than anything.
But I could also see Terry, God love Terry, I could see her being on like an after the fact unsolved mysteries, going like, yeah, that guy was our mailman for 30 years. And
not if it would have been
me
calling.
He had blood on his pants sometimes, but
not if it would have been me calling. She would have been like, I'm still on the fence as to whether or not this is true. She has a very like big imagination. Terry would not have been on board if it wasn't her idea.
Well, you know why? Okay, you know why I'm so into murder, and it's not.
It's real.
It's real, real. And I have to make the caveat that, like, I hate violence so much that I used to make my husband watch episodes of Boardwalk Empire and Game of Thrones first to make sure that I could handle them. So I grew up in Bellevue, Nebraska, and there was a serial killer of children in the town that I grew up in. Yes. Yeah.
I know that. So, I know part of this story, but I forgot that it was kids. Ugh. God.
Yeah. No. Which makes it worse. Like, it makes it worse even now. I know. I'm going to save you a lot of the details.
Please.
But I was very young when this happened. They did catch him. But it like, if you are in a small town and something like that happens, every part of your life is connected to it in some way. Like, you map out your life.
Sure.
In relation to when that happened, or like what was going on. And there's so many like things that weave back into my life that like, so just the long and short of it is that there was an airman stationed at the airbase off at Air Force Base. And for sure, he killed two kids that were my brother's age.
Oh,
like he was like a scoutmaster. Like, it's the most hideous, fucked up story you've ever heard.
Yeah, the scout groups.
And then he killed people back in Maine, where he was from.
Freaking Cabot Cove.
Where Cabot Cove? He lived in Cabot Cove.
He
probably.
Lived in Cabot Cove. God,
I can't
bless
even.
America.
I can't joke about it. I can't even joke about.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm uncomfortable. I'm not joking about it. When I get uncomfortable, I say inappropriate things. We should know that about my personality right now. I am by no means making. Otherwise, I won't know what to do with myself.
I know. I have to get the like real deal part of it out. Which this is. I don't know if this is funny, but there's a part. There's. Oh my God. So he committed his last crimes in Nebraska, which Nebraska does not take any shit when it comes to the death penalty. They're like, we are going to do this. So he did end up getting the death penalty in Nebraska. But because the boys were my brother's age, I went to middle school with one of their sisters. Like, it was such a part of my life that I don't know if I would have even known what a serial killer or murderer was until I was much, much older, if that hadn't gone on.
If you'd like to listen to more of that episode, that was our episode 4, I True Crime So Hard. Moving on to episode 22, which is One Man's Trash is Another Mom's Treasure. My lovely Jenny is a very good DIYer. She's also somebody who will drive by the road, see a chair, and put it in her minivan and figure out how to get the bugs off when she gets home. She's always spray painting something or weaving something or redoing her house. It's exhausting. I'm on TikTok. So we gave a 1 minute talk about it and it ended up being the entire episode. It was supposed to be just this really quick thing. And then we talked about dumpster diving on a whole new level in episode 22. Jenny.
Yes.
Let us give you a hot minute.
I feel like I'm doing extemporaneous speech in high school.
You're not going to know how to categorize this. You're going to be like, really, 1 minute for this? What the hell?
Okay.
And I want you to go big and braggy if you need to. And your subject is, and I'm giving you a clock. I don't know how they work.
Talk about it for a minute.
Dumpster diving.
Oh my gosh. Diving. Well, I have to say, I take it very personally that Terry hates your ottoman because I do recall being with you when you got that.
Yeah.
And you got that one chair that she really didn't like. Okay. Kristen and I were re-trick-or-treating with the kids.
Yes!
We're trick-or-treating. There is no car nearby. We were like as far away from your place as we could
go. On the LA River, because the LA River goes behind where I was living.
Yeah.
On the LA River, which... This is your hot minute. Shut up.
Okay. We had crying toddlers. They were really little at the time. And we walked by these chairs that had been like dumped by the side of the road. One of them had been basically demolished, right? Like somebody had backed over it. And then the other one, I was like, it's curved. It's like a half circle. It's beautiful woodwork. It was a little bit dirty. And I was like, Kristen, you need that chair. She was like, what? What am I going to do? I was like, go get your car and go get that chair. I forced her to get it. Had you ever picked anything up from the side of the road? From the LA River?
Not like this.
Have you ever gotten a chair from a homeless encampment before?
No. But I had my first experience with this chair because I am 100% sure that it was hosting lots of live creatures inside of the stuffing that was coming out. And so, Jen, let me make sure you're done with your minute.
Yeah. I made her like, I waited with the kids and I stood over this chair as you do when you're dumpster diving. Like I take my phone when I'm for a walk and I like call my husband. I'm like, get the car down here. There's a ping pong table.
Like, I'm telling you, I've never met anyone like this. Jen made me strap this chair in my Honda Civic. No, not in my Honda Civic, in my little RAV4.
Yep.
That was big enough to hold a stroller. So the stroller had to like be put into the front seat. The kid is strapped into the car seat. And we put this weird, what looked like a colonial chair, which I do believe you were right, that it was at one time worth a lot of money because it had good bones. But this thing looked like it had been shot.
Yeah, I think somebody had been murdered in this chair.
Somebody had definitely been murdered. They died sitting straight up.
Here's what I think happened. Somebody from a really nice neighborhood was like, well, we've killed these two hookers in each one of these chairs.
Yep.
And we need to like put them in the LA River, like
both
somewhere.
Both the hookers and the chairs.
Exactly. So they dump the hookers, leave the chairs. There's like everybody's DNA is going to be all over these.
Mm-hmm.
One of them gets backed over by an angry Los Angelino.
Yeah. The other one's like, somebody, it'll be fine there. Nobody would ever want to grab that chair from the LA River.
But Kristen grabbed it. I made her. Now, I don't remember. Did you just start using it right away?
I just started using it. Because I think I just had Finn at the time, but I was pregnant or something.
Yeah.
And there are pictures where this chair is in Finn's room and it is disgusting. It is so filthy and gross. And it's on me because here's the difference between Jen and I.
I was like, you can make a really great paste out of it. You know,
go get here. Here's a guy that does, what do you call it? Upholstery.
Yeah.
Here, you got to go downtown. You got to find a nice fabric to cover it. I'm like, when the am I going to do all this?
I offered to do it. I'm so pretty sure.
2.5 years go by.
And it's just, but it was like almost clean again. Like the kids had licked all of the dirt and Jesus DNA off Christ. Of it at that point.
That's why they're both literally so healthy that like nothing will get through their systems. Yeah.
So this chair goes with the ottoman, right? You usually keep them together, right?
Well, yes, it was a real 1-2 shitty punch if you're talking furniture.
And but I do think Terry holds it against me.
No, she holds you on a pedestal. That's not my ottoman. Here's the truth. So Jen makes me get this chair. And then at that point, I had already literally gotten into a dumpster and pulled out this ottoman that seemed perfectly nice to me, but it had been raining out. So I was like, well, with a little sunshine, it'll draft. And I was like, this is going to be my big DIY project. I'm going to make this ottoman look so awesome. I'm awful. What do I do with my time?
It was calling out for well, I have this guy that'll come get it too. He's like,
well, you know what? I didn't do any of that. And you know, I'm kind of like,
but now it's beautiful.
Well, yeah, because I threw it away.
You did?
Yeah, I replaced it with a Wayfair ottoman. What do you think I did with it?
Oh, the ottoman, but the chair you still have. I thought you recovered it in like a white, like Moleskine.
No, that's a different chair.
Kristen?
No? Jen?
Why didn't you give me a shot at it?
Because I didn't want it to be a thing that, like, I didn't want to hear about it. So I figured someone else would take that hooker chair, or maybe the guy that killed the hooker would finally feel secure that, like, he would come and get the chair and take it away. I didn't know what to do. I put it outside. It was gone in a second. Somebody made made a lot of money. God love them.
Have great craftsmanship.
Off to ya. Like, good on ya.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the episode 29, my goop responds to music. I went ahead and relived a time when my parents really enjoyed music. Sometimes I think it made them amorous, which I did not want to be a part of. Nobody does.
So my dad listened to all these. He had this like crazy stereo system that would like boom the whole house. Like if he was playing like the Star Wars album or something, like it literally shook the house. And
I love it.
He had every style of music. There would be a new artist that came out on the radio. He would be like, yeah, I don't like those Backstreet Boys. It's all electronic. You know, like if there was actual like musical quality to it, then he would enjoy it. He would listen to it. And so when he'd always buy albums for us. And I, about age 9, when my brother was in middle school and started playing electric guitar, I got really into heavy metal. Like really.
As you do. I mean, it's weird that you were that young. I'm not going to judge you. I was definitely listening to the Oak Ridge Boys and carrying along with whatever my parents wanted me to listen to, which was generally the country western of the time or throwback to the 60s and 70s.
Well, there was definitely a lot of the Barbara Streisand Memories album was a huge, huge part of my life during that time, too, because it was like my mom would be like, put on my album on Friday nights, but she'd like kick off her shoes and.
My God, that makes perfect sense. I remember
she never had a wine cooler, by the way.
She never. Barb, never. should have had a wine cooler, probably, but she had.
Totally.
But she had her music, and Babs is a good one. But I remember when I was growing up, my parents, they weren't like an aficionado like your dad. They just loved the music of their time. So like they had these songs, and I'd like to call them the sex songs because I always knew something was up. But like we'd be in the car and like, I still remember we would be in the car. I was in the back seat and there would be a song that would pop on and they would both like start like looking at each other and like jamming out to the groove. And I was like, gross, what is happening? And then my dad would be like, Terry, remember this song? And my mom would be like, yeah, do I do? And I'm like, oh, God, you guys hum to this song and we're listening
God
to it.
Like, the
family. No, I don't want to know. Well, I can't ever listen to Jefferson Airplane again.
Oh.
It was like, I was like.
I can't.
It's like, is that your song?
I can't for other reasons. I just, I'm not a fan.
I know. There's a lot.
Your parents.
Hey, man, that was.
You'd like to get it on, though.
Well, yeah. They were young and dumb. They didn't know that. I was like, I don't know specifically what you're talking about, but I can tell the tone has changed.
Well,
here.
My husband told me he used to get in trouble for singing 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover because it's fun. It's like rhymey, like step out the back, Jack, get a new plan, Stan.
Oh, yeah.
Stan. And his mom was
get
like,
on the bus, Gus. Just set yourself free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never cared what the words were until, Like a Virgin came out, and I was, I think as you were too, obsessed with Madonna.
Oh my gosh.
I have so many strong Madonna memories. Like she was shaping who I was as internally. And I remember Like a Prayer. I fucking love that. I play that song over again. Just like a prayer, your voice would take me there. It was a very scandalous video because there were crosses on fire and my mom was like and I was like, I love it more now. And then, oh my God, it was so sexy. I think I probably humped my pillow to like there was nothing left after that album.
Madonna did that to you.
She just made me feel like I was like growing up and I was like, oh, everything, all of it, all
did
of her songs.
I tell you that I can't believe if I wouldn't have told you this, but I had this babysitter one time and I don't remember her name, but we were watching MTV. Like my parents were so strict. They really were. But when it came to music, it was like, whatever,
anything goes.
So we were watching MTV and the Jump video was on. And, you know, David Lee Roth gets right up to the camera. He's got these red leather pants on and like does this like kick. And she goes, look at that. And I was like, look at what? She goes, his pants. Look at what's in his pants. And I was like,
I don't know why he has a tube of tennis balls in there.
I am uninterested in this tennis ball collection. I don't care.
Why is he carrying a flashlight in his pants? I don't understand.
You don't jump when you have that kind of equipment in your pants because you can't.
You're too heavy.
I heard this.
Too heavy. Stop.
That takes us to episode 3. I know we're jumping around, but we want to keep it interesting. It's I Cars So Hard. This is one of our very first recordings. It was the hardest because we had to be apart and we were trying to make the best of a really tough situation. We were new into the quarantine pandemic of it all. And it was one of those days where I was like, hey, for a couple hours, I forgot how things are so terrible. And it was really fun. Jen talks about why her childhood car, a Dodge Aspen, drove her parents to divorce. God love her and God love her parents.
Listen, I think some of those old cars are tanks and they're meant to be driven.
Okay, here's two more things, though, that I've done. That car was not a tank. It was not meant to be driven because it would die so much and we would take it on long road trips like family vacations.
Oh, no.
And I remember we took it to those Wisconsin Dells. And the reason I remember it so vividly is that I'd just gotten this new like lightweight pink windbreaker it was white with pink trim.
Oh,
and I got to pick it out. I loved it so much. And we brought it because we were by the water and it might get cold at night. So we went to like some fish and chips place for dinner and then go out to the parking lot. And the car won't start. The stupid Dodge Aspen wagon won't start. And we had to walk back to our motel. And
ironically, oh, I bet your mom's pissed.
Oh, my God. The whole time she was fighting. Like, I remember my brother and I walking up ahead so we didn't have to, like, listen to him. And I was dragging my wrist along this, like, chain that was in front of this used car dealership. And the whole, like, arm of my coat turned black from, like, the chain. And, of course, it was the 80s. You didn't get a new coat. You just had a messed up coat for 3 years. Because it, like, you got it two sizes too big. Yeah. So I just had, like, one really janky arm, and this car was the reminder of it. And then, so we're, I think, I can't remember if it was that one or if it was, like, when we're in South Dakota, because those are the two vacations you go on when you're from the Midwest.
Yeah.
South Dakota, Wisconsin Dells.
Wherever you can go to a creepy putt-putt place and talk with strangers at their campsite, that's pretty much the Hensley version of five-star travel.
There's a corn palace there. Well, we'll go. That sounds.
I had irritable bowel syndrome one summer, and I'd rather not go through that again.
Well, so I remember, I'm pretty sure it was South Dakota. Might have been Wisconsin Dells, because we're staying at this, like, motor lodge place that had, like, these little cabins. And we were so cheap that my mom would always check the beds for fleas, not even bed bugs, because nice hotels get bed bugs. We would have to check the bed for fleas. We would stay, and because we always brought our dogs, which is what classy people do. And I remember there was, like, a pool in the middle of the parking lot, and my parents were having this horrible argument. My dad was like, let's go to the pool. So we get in our suits, and my dad and my brother and I got to the pool, and we're in there for like 20 minutes. And then we hear the Dodge Aspen wagon, because it was so freaking loud, the engine of it.
Oh, no.
And we see my mom, like, driving through the parking lot, like, angry, like, her hair up in a bun, not even looking towards the pool. And it was, like, so ominous. I remember I was like, Dad, is she coming back? And he was like, yeah, she's coming. Like, he didn't believe him. Like, it seemed like that was
He's
it.
Like,
that was
TBD. TBD.
Like, that my final memory would be of my mother, like, in this wagon with, like, blown struts and shocks, like, bobbing up and down out of this, like, shitty motel parking lot.
Oh, no.
And she did come back, but then they, like, got divorced. And it was such, like, they fought about this car so much.
Isn't that weird that this car becomes this, like, talking point for a divorce? I think at that point you're like, I just want something that you want.
It was that neither one of them would budge. It was like she was not going to drive that car. She didn't want the car. And he was like, I'm not going to give up on this car, which was a really stupid idea, because it was such a terrible car.
Well, like, let me just say this. If I ever get divorced, and I don't want to get divorced, but if I ever get divorced, my husband can freely and happily have the RAV4.
The RAV4 was like the Bugatti of cars next to this station wagon, though, Kristen. Like, just before we got the new car, we get, like, upgraded to an Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra.
I'm familiar. I've sold a couple in my day.
It felt like the fanciest car you could ever have. But before that happened, we were driving out of the Kmart parking lot, my mom, my brother, and I, and she hit a pothole, and all of the hubcaps flew off. All four of them flew off. And I remember, because I had to race across the parking lot to go retrieve two. And my brother had to get the other two, because we were going to try and trade it in for something.
Oh, no.
It was awful. But I bet you had, like, the pick of the litter, because your dad sold cars. So no, you could have just.
That's what I think I should have had, Jen. Thank you for bringing that up.
You should have.
No, I did not. Let me explain something to you. Dewey Hensley Motor was the name of my dad's car dealership. Nowhere in that title was the word Mercedes or Lexus. Okay? If there was a Buick or some version of a old, like, Chevelle, my dad sold them. And here's the thing. My dad would say, he'd go, hey, Kristen, go ahead and drive this car to school and back today. And I would think, oh, that's fun. It's a different car. I'll drive that to school today. And then it would break down, and he'd be like, yeah, I just needed to see what needed to get fixed on it before I put it on the lot. And I was like, I'm just wondering at what point I am a factor in this car. The fact that I'm in there. And I honestly didn't care because against that Midwest attitude, you're like, so what? I'll go to the neighbor. I know everybody. I'll go knock on their door and my dad will come pick me up, which I did literally all over Highway 14. Hey guys, let's go to a mom box. This message really speaks to me. We were talking about midlife crisis and what that means when you're a woman. Like, you're not buying a Corvette and, you know, trying to hook up with young girls. Or maybe you are, but that's your journey. Mine was that I wanted to hike more. So Nina wrote me a great message, sent it to us through the DM. And God love her, man. Here we go. I just listened to your podcast about midlife crisis and I loved it. I just wanted to share a story with Kristen since she mentioned she wished she had done more hiking in her 20s. I did a lot of hiking back in my 20s. I'm 39 now, happily married, 2 kids. And one incident in particular jumped into my memory while listening. I once went hiking with a friend and we stayed in a trail hut overnight. While there, I got very drunk and made out with 2 different hot hikers in one night. They're not at the same time. That night was the peak of my 20-something sluttiness. And while I'm slightly embarrassed by it, I'm also kind of like, damn girl, go get him. Anyway, just thought you'd find that funny. Thanks for all the laughs you've given me this year. Listening to your podcast while stuck at home has been almost like hanging out with friends. I love her. I'm going to relive that memory as though it's my, I'm going to make it one of my memories. I'm going to create a fake memory for myself that I had that experience because that's awesome and go you. And I would high five you if I was next to you right now. That's fantastic. So if you're excited to hear the episode that Nina's referring to, it is episode 56. I midlife crisis so hard. And, I'm going to enjoy listening to it again because I'm going to convince myself I was a young hiker that made out with 2 hot guys. Okay, so I've got another mom box and I'm just going to read it while not I'm here. Am I talking 1,000 miles per minute? This is why Jen's great because I talk so fast and then she's like nice and steady. Lindsay wrote, today I'm so glad the actor Hardy and the t-shirt Hardy thing was discussed because 100% thought they were the same person. I've thought to myself, good job, t-shirt man. You really branched out with your career, but never had any interest in looking him up because I thought it was the t-shirt guy. Thanks for making me laugh every Tuesday morning. That's fantastic. I almost don't want her to know. I just want her to keep thinking like, Tom Hardy, well, God, he's such a hard worker. Not only is he an A-list actor, he's got a really nice t-shirt company on the side. What else does he do? Is he a gardener? That's fantastic. Oh, gosh. You guys, the mom boxes are our favorite thing ever. Guys, I'm going to keep going. I have a hot flash.
Hot flash, hot flash.
You know what? It's fine that I talk about it on this episode because I'm 100% sure that Jen has never seen this show because if it's not a Real Housewives show or something about murder or a science show about murder, she's not watching it. So I'm alone in that. And I am a huge fan of Friday Night Lights. Huge. And I think the character and the actor, Tim Riggins, together should be illegal. I just watched it again because I was kind of bored and it came up on Netflix and I was like, okay, I'll give this another, whoa, Tim Riggins, hello. You are not unattractive. Also Coach Taylor. I think I kind of married Coach Taylor because Colin, it reminds me a little bit of Coach Taylor. He's just not as into me as Coach Taylor is into his wife. So it's fine. We argue more than Coach Taylor argues. That's fine. That's okay. But I'm just saying there's a lot of, if you need something to watch and you feel a little bored and you don't mind a little bit of tingle action, I highly recommend Friday Night Lights. By the way, the entire cast is like 30. Like nobody in there is really a high schooler. I'm like, give me a break. Like Tim Riggins, that he would look like a wizard now if that was real, because he doesn't, because I just looked him up. He's still got it. He goes, okay, guys, well, I think we've all experienced some of my personalities on this episode, and I really hope you enjoy this, like, recap. If you're new to the podcast, we hope you enjoy it. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, not on TikTok yet, but we're there. We have an account. We just haven't done anything with it under I Mom So Hard. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all your love and support, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening, and be sure to go back to our previous episodes and let us know your favorite moments, because we might read it on the podcast.